All right, I have started the recording, and I'm hallucinating. I think it was just your bookmark, but I thought you had a remote control up to your ear like a telephone. So you captured my attention for a moment, and I was like, what is Danielle doing? All right, so in my book, we are on page 227. This is the Kindle version. It's Acts chapter 7, beginning with verses 44 to 53. Where are you guys?
228.
Okay, so and you need to go get your spiral bound, it looks like. All right, good. All right, so verses 44 to 53 on page 228 in the paper edition. Be aware of the hatred and anger that is within you, but be not afraid of it. There is a resistance within your mind that will seem to fight your every move. But if you remember this, it will make your journey much easier for you. So before I continue, what we've been talking about is the spiritual path. So last week we were talking about, for example, to celebrate the spiritual path, even the hard times. Because in the way that you celebrate is remembering what the purpose is and how much you want the purpose. So that even the difficult times, there's a celebration that can happen. And so when this says, be aware of the hatred and anger that is within you, there's a resistance in your mind that's going to fight your every move, it is talking about the spiritual path. You know, it's saying that if you have made a decision to let go of the ego, there's something in you, you know, that's going to resist that, that's going to fight that. And what that really is, to be honest, people will say it's the ego that's going to fight you, but that's not actually true, because the ego isn't anything. It can't fight you. What's happening is that you aren't wholly decided. A part of you has decided that you want to, you know, let go of the ego, but a part of you is still very attached to the ego. And so it's really your own attachment to the ego that is fighting the part of you that wants to let it go. So that's what's going on, and it's just a battle within yourself. And sometimes people say, well, how can you have a battle within yourself? But when people ask that question, they just aren't thinking or remembering. We have battles within ourselves all the time. You know, should I do this? I think I will. No, I think I won't. Or, you know, we can't decide, right? So we have battles within ourselves all of the time. And this is no different. It's just a battle that's going on within ourselves between some of our thoughts and some of our other thoughts. And so that's really all that it is. It's not like there's some entity called the ego that is fighting you. That's the way it often gets worded, but that's just not true. It's only you fighting you. But one of the mistakes that sometimes people make is that they don't honestly look at what's happening in their own mind. And the first step to change is acknowledgement of what needs to change. So we always need to be willing to look at what's happening in our mind and not deny it. And so that's why this is saying, be aware of the hatred and anger that is in you. Don't be afraid of it, right? But be aware that there is a resistance in your mind that is going to try and fight your every move. And then it says, this resistance within the mind that first comes up strong is actually weak. Any strength it seems to have is an ancient strength given to it a long time ago. It can use its strength to seem ferocious in the short term, but it needs your strength to remain ferocious longer. So when you see it, remember not to give it your strength. Through your remembrance, its ferociousness must die, and only peace will remain in its wake, and then the wake shall die too. So, you know, I've experienced a number of these ego storms, and in some ways they're just all the same. What happens is, well, you know, Peace Pilgrim said, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And what that really means is the part of your mind that does not want to let go of ego because it is your mind, it knows exactly where you're most likely to listen to it. So if financial stuff is your thing, it will bring up all kinds of financial fears for you. If guilt is your thing, it will bring up all kinds of guilt thoughts about, you know, for you, about you. If attacking the world, like you're a highly critical person and attacking the world, it will bring up all kinds of those types of thoughts for you. Just whatever you will listen to, it will bring up for you. And so the times that I've experienced the most fear, I would have to say, were around probably financial things. As I said, financial and unworthiness would be the two for me. Financial and unworthiness. And so what would happen, like when I originally left my job, and there was a lot of fear around leaving my job, you know, the types of things that the ego would say to me, I remember this one would just really scare me. It would say to me, it's okay that you are making this decision to leave your job. It's okay for you, but you have a daughter, and she didn't choose to be on this spiritual path. She didn't choose for you to give up your job, and you're responsible for her. And I'd start listening to that, you know? And the further I went into listening to that, the more the fear rose, the more the doubt that I was, you know, should be doing what I was doing came. So, and I remember the worst day with this particular story, the worst day, I had sold my house in Massachusetts, and I went to North Carolina to buy a house there because that's where I was guided to move to. And every house that I had seen was really just, I mean, it would have felt like a sacrifice, a true sacrifice to move into them. They were unacceptable, had huge maintenance problems, and I'm a single woman, wouldn't know how to repair things myself. And this was now Saturday evening, and we were supposed to be flying out on Sunday to go back to Massachusetts, and I hadn't found a house. And somehow this got into that thought about, you know, what about my daughter? Now she's not going to have a home. You know, you've taken her out of a great school. And I remember I got so scared. I was literally in bed in the fetal position, and the ego was saying to me things like, you know, you had a really good life. You threw away a really good life on this spiritual crap. And it was just telling me how stupid I was, and I was believing it and believing it and believing it. And then two lines came into my mind. One was from A Course in Miracles. It says, you are not the victim of the world you see. And then the second line was from Peace Pilgrim, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And that's when I realized all that was happening was that the ego knew exactly what would scare me. And it was throwing out those lines, those sentences, and I was listening. And that was the only thing that was wrong. And so somehow I was able to pull myself up from the bootstraps. And it took like about 2 or 3 hours to come out of that fear. I mean, it wasn't instant because I'd gone right in. But I started coming out after that point. And what was funny in the story is I came out of the fear. And, you know, like, so if we fast forward 3 hours, my brother says, hey, I have to go pick up my son. Why don't you come with me? And I go with my brother. And then he says, let's just go driving around looking at houses. And I'm like, oh, Roger, you know, I'm letting this go. He's like, no, let's go driving around. And he turns down this one street. And there's the house. And the instant I saw it, I knew it was going to be my house. And we called the realtor, and they came and showed it to me right away, and I made an offer. So I did have a house by the time I went home the next morning. You know, so when we're afraid, when we're listening to the ego, it's not even right. I mean, that's what I finally learned. Like, it's not even right. It's giving us all of these horror stories. It's telling us worst-case scenario things that are going to happen. I've never once found the ego to be right. And so we're afraid over imaginary worst case scenarios. And when you finally learn that, then you learn that you don't even have to listen to it anymore. But it's the listening to it that feeds it. Because from that, in that day that I just told you about, once those two lines came into my mind, that we are not the victim, I'm not the victim of the world I see, and the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor, and I figured out all that's happening is the ego is throwing these sentences at me and I'm listening. And I started not listening. I started changing my mind. Within 3 hours, the ego storm ended. And within 6 hours, I had a house. If I'd never gotten out of bed, I wouldn't have had a house. You realize that, right? If I'd never gotten out of bed, I wouldn't have gotten a house. I had to be out of bed. I had to be up. My brother had to invite me to go. I had to have enough feeling goodness about me to say, okay, I'll go. So what this is telling us is if an ego storm seems to really last and 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 last, it's because we're listening to it. And at some point we need to realize that's where it's getting its strength from. And we need to choose to stop listening to it. We really need to make that firm decision. And when we choose to stop listening to it, you know, just see it as a storm that feeds off of our listening, and we stop listening to it, well, then it's still wound up a little bit, and it may take a little bit of time to wind down, but it does wind down then once we quit listening to it, once we start to see it as nothing but meaningless chatter in the mind. So, verses 54 to 60. Remember that all things are well in my sight. I am the Holy Spirit, the overseer of all things. I see to it that all things are good, and so they are. In what seems to be your times of trial and tribulation, cling tightly to me and do not let go. I will carry you through to your time of peace and celebration. From there you shall be carried to your joy. This is a promise that I make, and it is a promise you need not fear, for it is the promise of your Holy Spirit, whose will is the same as yours. So it's kind of interesting because Spirit says, remember that all things are well in my sight. I see to it that all things are good, and so they are. And that's something that with the human thinking mind, we can't understand. And so that's where we need to trust. But what happens as we learn to trust Spirit is somehow, and this is, I guess, a miracle, somehow within us something shifts, something changes. I can't even explain what it is. So that we also start to see that all things are well. So something could happen to me that other people may think is a terrible thing, and they're wondering how I'm doing so well with it. The way that I'm doing so well with it is that somehow I know it's well, no matter what it looks like. And it's not anything you can explain. There's just this feeling that becomes born in you that feels very legitimate. It's not coming from the thinking mind, so it's sturdier than the thinking mind, that just knows that all is well, always. And so then when things happen, You're still okay. You're always okay because you know everything is well. You know, Peace Pilgrim was someone who demonstrated this very, very well. You know, she had experiences that other people wouldn't have called the most positive experiences in the world. Like she went one time 3 days without food because she only ate when people offered her food, and for 3 days no one offered her any. She also sometimes had to sleep like on park benches or sidewalks or in pastures, and it could be a little cold because nobody offered her a place to sleep. There was one time when she was in New Mexico and a freak out-of-season snowstorm came. And as she was walking in the snowstorm, she says clumps of ice were like sticking to her feet and all of this. And when she tells these stories, she tells these stories with such joy because that all is well was in her. So it wasn't like, oh, I had to sleep on a park bench. Oh, I had to go 3 days. She tells and then she always has a happy ending to the story. It may not be what other people would perceive as a happy ending, but it's always a happy ending for her. Like at the end of the 3 days, she was walking in the highway. This is when she hadn't eaten for 3 days. She's walking along a highway and there's an apple tree with some of its branches over the fence and some of the apples had fallen on the outside of the fence. And she felt like those apples were free for her to take. She would never take them from the tree, because it wasn't her tree, and she would never climb over the fence. But these apples had fallen on the ground outside the fence, you know, in the right next to the highway. And this is her. She said, look, even here, food is provided. And then when she was walking in the snow that time, She had a vision. She thought she was going to die. She wasn't scared, but she thought she was going to die. And she had a vision, and in the vision she saw a friend of hers who told her it wasn't her time. And then when the vision faded, she looked ahead and there was a bridge, and underneath the bridge there was like a big old moving box with a newspaper in it. And so she went under the bridge where the snow wasn't hitting, it was dry under there, climbed inside that moving box, covered up with that newspaper, and curled up and stayed there till the storm ended. And she says, even there, shelter was provided. This is a very strong all is well feeling. But as a result of this very strong all is well feeling, that's how she experienced life, right? So what Spirit is saying is all is well always. It's only our judgment of the situation that says it's not well. It's like I mentioned before I started the recording that, you know, with the hurricane situation out on the East Coast right now, that certainly there are people who are going to be, you know, suffering, heartbroken, sad, worried because their houses are flooded or their houses are burned. But there certainly will be some people whose houses also were flooded or also were burned that are going to have that all is well feeling. And it's going to be kind of like, okay, what do we do next? You know, what's next? And it's not that the situation requires the suffering. The suffering comes from us saying it's not supposed to be that way, right? That's actually good news, because that's something we can change. That's just a thought in our own mind. It's not supposed to be that way, you know, or I don't want this. These are just thoughts.
Resistance.
Yeah. And so it's good news that a situation can't actually cause your suffering, because if that was true, if you had to suffer when your house was flooded or your house burnt down, well, then people would have to suffer because stuff like that happens. Another story Peace Pilgrim tells is there was a woman that she knew who had a very large, I think she says, 5-story house, and with lots of expensive furniture in it and everything. And her house did burn down, and it burnt down to the ground. And so Peace was just being sympathetic when she said to the woman, "Oh, I'm sorry." And the woman said, "You don't have to be sorry. This is the best thing that ever happened to me." She said, "I had all this furniture and I needed this big old house to keep it. And it was, I didn't even realize what a burden it had become. But now I'm so free, you know." And so that woman also had the all is well feeling, right? She didn't suffer that she lost everything. She felt free as a result of having lost everything. So all is well. All right, moving on then to the beginning of chapter 8. Verses 1 to 3. Jesus asked you to rejoice when you are persecuted on account of him. This is something he asked in Matthew. It was either 5, 6, or 7. Jesus asked you to rejoice when you are persecuted on account of him. This is what he meant by that. I have told you that there is a battle raging within your mind. This is a one-sided battle in which you seem to fight against yourself, but you fight no one. Within you, there is a storm of rage and anger and hurt and fear and guilt. And it is the brewing of this storm that seems to be a battle. But it is not a battle, it is only a storm. And it is a storm with limited power built up within itself. So when this storm plays itself out and is given no more power, it must die, and peace and light shall reign within you. This is what Jesus meant when he said that you are to rejoice when you are persecuted on account of him. As this storm rises within you, do not fear it. Fear gives power to the storm. Do not feel guilty for it. Guilt is the fodder of the storm itself. Instead, rejoice, knowing that the storm cannot last, and that which comes after it is peace. So it's really interesting, because it's the same thing we saw at the end of Acts chapter 7, but now Spirit's just using some slightly different words to say the same thing, because slightly different words click with different people. And what Spirit is telling us here is that when the ego does get very, very loud and, and we're listening to it for a time and we're getting very fearful or we're feeling very unworthy or very angry, you know, depending on what we're listening to. One mistake that people make is that as they find themselves getting caught up in this type of, I call it an ego storm, is they then become afraid of it. It's like they have this thought, oh no, it's going to get worse. Sorry, I laughed. But that, if you have this thought, oh no, it's going to get worse, and you believe it, guess what happens? It gets worse for you. But why did it get worse? Because you believe the thought, oh no, it's going to get worse. So Spirit is pointing these kinds of things out to us. If, you know, when these thoughts come in, they're saying, oh my God, this is going to get worse. I'm not going to be able to make it through this. I'm not going to be able to rest, accept, and trust. That's just the ego pulling you in. And you need to notice that that's what that is. And you really need to be wise enough. And the wisdom is in you, so you can be wise enough. You need to be wise enough to recognize that's all it is. It's just the storm trying to feed itself with these types of thoughts. And so when you see thoughts that say, oh no, this is just going to get worse, you have to realize that's just a thought. Oh no, I can't handle this. That's just a thought. I'm never going to be able to rest, accept, and trust through this. That's just a thought. I'm not resting enough through this. That's just a thought. I mean, you just have to stay with that. You have to start realizing that every one of these fear thoughts are actually just trying to feed the storm. And if you don't believe them, the storm can actually end fairly quickly because you're giving it no food, right? You're not feeding it at all. Guilt is another one. If people don't fall for the fear thoughts, the next thought will be, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm a failure. I'll never get this right. Everybody else can do this, but I can't do this. You know, and all this kind of self-talk. And if you listen to that, that also feeds the storm. So you have to realize that these aren't your true thoughts. These aren't your real thoughts. These are what I would call ego tricks. And so as soon as the thoughts start coming in, you know, I'm a failure. I'll never be able to do this. Everybody else can do this, but I can't. You need to be wise enough not to listen to those thoughts, because those thoughts feed the storm. And so it's really a matter, for me, it's almost looking at this with a technical mind, right? Knowing that when an ego attack comes up, it comes up because you did listen to something somewhere. Okay, that's why it comes up. But it has limited power based on the listening that you've done so far. And the only way that storm can last for a very long time is it's going to start shooting thoughts at you. And if you believe them, then the storm can last. But if you get wise and you realize this storm exists on my belief alone, and I do not need to believe these thoughts. I need to see them as nothing but thoughts that are trying to extend this storm. And you know, they're going to happen. And in my experience on the worst ego storms, the way I dealt with it was laying in bed. Because somehow when I was laying in bed, I was more focused on the ability to not believe the thoughts. You know, they didn't sneak by me. So I would literally just lay there and I would watch them, recognize that's just a thought, I'm not going to listen. Watch, recognize that's just a thought, I'm not going to, I mean, I was working. But as a result of the working, what happened is the ego storms moved on by. And my experience is now, I can't talk about my experience in the future, but my experience is now, I don't hardly have ego storms anymore. Do you know when the last one was? It seems like I had one this year, but I don't remember anything about it now. Do you know? I'm sure it was very brief. I don't even remember what it was. But, you know, like, for the most part, I don't have mental, emotional problems anymore. You know, I'm happy. You know, I accept things as they come. I trust all things. Occasionally a little something comes up now, but when that little something does come up, I go right back to this type of practice. It doesn't last long. It's over very quickly. There's a big difference in my state of mind now and my state of mind before. And it just comes from this practice right here that I'm describing. So somehow as we learn not to feed these storms, eventually it's like there's no residual in us to start a new one. Does that make sense?
I read something in the course just not too long ago that really helped me, and it said, I'm in control of thoughts that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And that really spoke to me because I have trouble in stopping them. And when I read that, then that karma is doing what you said you were doing when you were in bed. You know, it's just say, I don't have to listen to that, I don't want to listen.
Well, and you know, what you just said is kind of important, so I'm going to highlight it. You first said I had trouble stopping them, but then you said I end up doing just what you did. I don't want that. I don't want that. Notice when you're saying I don't want that, you're not really stopping them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where some people, that's a subtle difference that people need to maybe hear. I think some people try to stop them. We can't actually stop them. They're going to come because we've already brewed that part of the storm, right? But as they come, we look right at them and say, I don't want that. I'm not going to believe that. That's just an ego trick. So you're not stopping the thoughts. It's the way you're relating to the thought when it comes. And then eventually, because you're not believing them again, they quit. They start slowing down, growing weaker, and then they just quit coming. So it's really how you're relating. Instead of believing the thought, you know, I'll never be able to do this. I believe that. I'll never be able to do this. That's just a thought. I'm not going to believe that. It's how you relate with them that matters.
Now this brings us back to the distinction we were talking about last week between just trying to get rid of something, shove something.
Shove it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to accepting how you feel.
Right. So again, when you are looking at the thoughts and relating to them that way, you're still letting them come. But it's like you're not re-swallowing them. So they get to leave. They come and they leave and they come and they leave. When you believe them, they come and then you swallow them again. Or if you're trying to stop them, you're pushing them down and they never even, you know, they stay down there in the first place. So right, you do want them to present themselves and then be free to go. Right? That's what you want. And you can't get there through avoidance. You can't get there through fear. You have to, and that's why I said for me, anyway, having a very technical mind about it, like seeing this in a very technical way, is helpful. It's almost like a machine, right? And you just, okay, here's how the machine works, you know? And if I don't want the machine working, here's what I need to do. You know, and just very technical about it. But that doesn't mean, even with a technical mind, it doesn't mean I wasn't feeling emotions and all of that, which is, again, why during the biggest ones, I always just laid in bed and my full attention was on the thoughts that were trying to get my interest and making sure that I related to every thought. In fact, I even remember, because I started off having a very strong desire to deny the thoughts, to press them back down. And I remember in order to get out of that desire so that I could allow them to present themselves, I used to say, I see that thought. Okay? And so I would, and I would literally, I mean, in my mind, but I would literally like look at it for a second so that I knew I wasn't repressing it. I held on to it long enough to look at it, and then I would say, but I don't want it. And I would literally say that, I see that thought. Okay? I see that thought, but I don't want it. So I was very precise in my practice. But it worked. So, let's see. Verses 4 to 8. Remember your purpose in all things. As the storm seems to rage within, there is also willingness. Cling to your willingness as a beacon of light. Let its miracles protect you from the storm. Rest within its light, and let its light heal you. I've probably mentioned before that, you know, just for me, one thing that I've pretty much always been able to find is my willingness. Like, that's not difficult for me to find in me, my willingness to awaken, my willingness to be healed, my willingness to know thyself, right? And so when things were tough, what I could find in me that could kind of be my anchor would be my willingness. But other people have told me that they can't find their willingness. And like if Dave was here, I'm sure Dave would point out for us that one thing he can always find is faith. And so when the going gets tough for him, he finds his faith. And he leans on his faith, and that's what gets him through. I think I said once that, at least it used to be for Danielle, I don't know anymore because we haven't talked about it in a while, but once upon a time for her it was hope. You know, hope that this would get better. And so she could find her hope. So for all of us, it may not be willingness, but there may be something in us that kind of anchors our mind in the right mind a little bit, anchors our trust in spirit, anchors our ability not to just totally lose it. Something that keeps us there. And whatever that is, this is the time to reach out for it. Yeah, this is the time to reach out for it and help. Let that help you through the ego storm. And then it kind of starts a new topic. So this is probably a good place to stop, and then we can finish chapter 8 next week. So it's kind of funny trying to come up with an assignment for this, because this was all about what to do in these really strong ego attacks. And I certainly don't want to say, okay, now have a really bad week. Go have a bad week, you know, a really horrible ego attack so you can practice this. So I'm not going to give you that assignment, but what I will give you the assignment of, which would be preparing for whenever the next ego attack comes, because there probably will be one until you don't have them anymore. So I would say practice that skill of looking at thoughts, because thoughts come up all the time, all day long. You don't even have to be feeling any ego attack at all. Practice noticing some of your thoughts and saying something like, I see that thought, but I'm not interested. You know, try to notice some thoughts that you may have always believed before, like, you know, I'm fat. There's the one that lots of people in the world, maybe not Dan, he looks a little, but most people in the world now know that I'm fat thought. What are some other common thoughts that everybody has? Where's the money going to come from? That's the thought a lot of people have. I don't have enough money. Just try to notice some of these thoughts that are always showing up in your mind that you almost accept as facts. And that, you know, obviously they're not necessarily making you feel good about yourself or the world, right? And try to start saying to yourself, you know what, that's a thought. This belief that I'm fat, or this belief that I don't have enough money, or this belief that, you know, I didn't do a good job as a mom, or this belief that, sorry, I didn't mean to get anybody to shake their head there. You know, start noticing these are just thoughts that I'm buying into, because these thoughts actually lead to the next ego storm, to be honest. So if you can catch them before you even get to the next ego storm, you may be able to prevent a storm or two. Because it's your casual believing of these thoughts while you're doing the dishes, while you're driving the car, that eventually builds up and creates an ego storm.
So we practice noticing those thoughts and then...
saying, I don't want that thought. I'm not, that's just a thought. I don't have to believe it. You're kind of standing up to it and facing it and refusing it. Yeah. That would be your assignment. That's a good one.
Can you just dismiss it?
And tell me what you mean by just dismiss.
I mean, do you use another method? Do you think of something else?
Well, it depends on how you do that, because that could be a yes or that could be a no. Sometimes when people think of something else, what they're really, it's everything depends on your intention. Because sometimes when people quickly think of something else, it's because they don't want to look at this thought.
They're denying it.
But for example, I have done that, like when I had fears about money and the fear thought was coming up, I looked at it, I admitted that I was fearful, but then I chose to trust spirit instead. So it's a matter of, I did look at it first, but then I chose another thought, which I call an antidote thought. Instead of fear, I'm going to move over to trust. And in that case, it does work. So what really matters is that you're not trying to deny, avoid, or escape. That you look honestly at it, and then you make another choice. And that's fine. Anything else before I turn off the recorder? Okay, so what we're going to do now then is we'll go into a little bit of silence, and then we'll discuss this in any way that you want to discuss it.